Every single person has bought from a entrepreneur. Every single person has been burned by a business coach or a coach that hasn't delivered what was promised. It's easy in a carousel to say you're good at marketing.
Yeah, it's like scripted.
Of course, absolutely. But when you're watching somebody present for an hour live about their topic,
you know if they're full of
You can tell if they're full of We have lost trust.
I get clients that are like, hey, Tim, check my ads. I got a workshop next week. And I'm like, you just started ads like a week out? It's just way too late.
If someone was thinking about running a live challenge,
yep.
What are the kind of big mistakes to avoid?
For a challenge, you want to have like at least a 6-week run up. Most people, when they run these type of events, they're just extremely unorganized with it. And it's just very last minute. Proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. Today, we're on the Under the Hood episode where we're lifting the lid on what's going on for us in business and what you guys can learn from us. Steph, how are you feeling?
Yeah, always a lot to talk about because we're always doing new stuff, which is cool.
Today, we're going to chat about stacking multiple conversion mechanisms to get more calls and more sales from the same leads you've got, why we're running a massive 3-day challenge in January and how it's set to produce a 10x return on ad spend, the new AI system we built to write 50 ad creatives, and how we're preparing for another record year in business. Steph, personal update. What's going on for you?
I mean, not a lot, actually,
yeah.
Which is literally the point. Mm. I have had 4 days off. The last 4 days I have had completely off work, forced by my very incredible, loving husband. We went for a walk on Thursday morning and I can't believe the dogs didn't react to that word. We got very lucky.
Yeah.
But we went for a walk on Thursday morning and he told me that I was being crazy and I needed to take some time off. So this tends to happen with my personality type. I am pretty 0 to 100 on things. And so the last probably 8 weeks, I have been pretty 100 on business. So yep. We work as soon as we get home from the gym in the mornings, and then I pretty much don't switch off until 6:30 p.m. at night.
Yeah.
And that's cool for a bit. And that's an awesome trait because I get a ton done and I'm very, very active and like very proactive in that season. But extended versions of Steph doing that are very exhausting, mm-hmm. and tend to make me get a bit too much in my masculine energy, mm-hmm. and feel like a control freak and start to kind of get a little bit anxiety and just not overly happy,
yep.
With how I'm spending my life. Tim forced me to take some days off and now I feel happy and relaxed and good again. And just that reminder that for anybody out there who's been 100 for an extended period of time, like
yep.
you do need breaks, like yep. you do need to rest. And I'm very, very grateful that you were able to take on some of my workload. To be fair, there was like not that much workload. And that's the craziest part is that
you think it's worse than it is.
You think that it's worse than it is, but it's never actually as bad as it is. So it's been really nice. So thank you for that. Tim, what is your personal update?
Yeah. So we've always wanted an ads agency for quite a long time, but it was like we couldn't quite work out the model because, you know, someone paying us whatever, like let's just arbitrarily say 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 grand a month. It's like, yes, that sounds like a lot of money, but it's a ton of work in it. So we never really found like a model that works for us. But recently we have. So we have a retainer plus a revenue share. Why that works is because Steph and I are incredibly motivated for a result. Therefore, us just taking on agency clients and getting a retainer isn't like super sexy for us. So we wanted someone or an agency client that we could grow with. And we found that, which is great. So we have like a retainer plus a rev share model, which is epic for us because we get rewarded for the effort that we put in and we grow the company as well. But like, I didn't want to just be like every other ads agency that just took on like 30 or 40 or 60 clients mm-hmm. and charged whatever they charge and just do a shit job.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would rather have a stake in a company and a rev share. Obviously it gives me motivation to go harder. So don't flood me with messages about this, guys, but we definitely do have an ads agency on the back end. So if that's something that sounds interesting to you, if you'd like, I guess, some consultancy and us to run your marketing, it's definitely an option. This isn't something that's cheap and this isn't something for this just starting out in business. This is an experienced operator that has a sales team, knows the game and is ready to grow and scale and like ready to go big. So
it's been awesome. It's been super fun. We've really enjoyed it. We have always known that we wanted an agency.
Yep.
So it's been cool to see you pull it
Life.
Pull it to life.
All right. First thing we're talking about today, guys, is strategies. So we're diving into more diverse conversion mechanisms. Essentially, we do workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Now we do founder calls.
Yep.
And then we have call me sequences. Yes. And tell us about it and why that matters.
So first of all, let's just break down what a conversion mechanism is. So this is a way for us to take someone from a lead to a client in our company. There are lots of ways that you can do conversion mechanisms. The most obvious way is a sales call.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that what we overestimate is that every single person wants a sales call.
Yeah.
Not every single person wants a sales call. Not every single person is sold that way. And so we want to always have, and this is maybe not for every single person that's listening to this podcast, but for us personally, we want to always have multiple ways for people to enter our world and make a yes decision on us. And so assuming that everyone is the same and everyone wants a sales call and everyone's going to convert in a sales call really limits a huge share of the market.
Yep.
So other conversion mechanisms that we run would be things like sometimes, very, very rarely, but every now and then, someone will sign up in DM,
mm-hmm.
directly in DM. So just a few conversations,
yep.
they've been watching our YouTube or whatever, and they want to just buy, which is awesome. Okay. So like you have a conversion mechanism, a DM warm up. The one that's been the most prolific for us over the last 12 months has definitely been the webinar conversions.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, guys, you can do paid, you can do free. We have done both and tested both.
Yep.
Getting people onto our webinars, showing them an extreme amount of value, and also showing them how we can help them install whatever we've just taught them over a 12-month period inside Success School has been awesome for us. There are other ways that you can do conversion mechanisms. You can do challenges, which we'll talk through later. But the newest one that we've added in has been a Q&A founder call. These so far have been pretty small, but very effective in terms of, you know, there are always a lot of people who are sitting on, I like to call them like satellite clients, like people who are just on the outside of working with you, that are on the fringes. They're on the sidelines. They watch your stuff. They open most of your emails. They're always engaging. They're always liking. They maybe even had a sales call before, but they just didn't convert. And they haven't converted because they've got questions and they're scared. They're unsure if it's right for them. They maybe want another touch point just to make sure that's not a sales call, that feels safer than a sales call, but will still answer their questions. And so we've started running the Q&A founder calls. Basically, we invite people who are on the fringes to join us for a call. We're very clear about what the call is about. You can ask us questions. We'll help you strategize. But ultimately, we want to know how we can get you inside Success School because you're genuinely thinking about it. You just haven't quite pulled the trigger yet. And so they've been really awesome. I think we've signed up 50% of every cohort that's come through the Q&A founder call, which has been great. And just another touch point for them to be able to ask the questions that they've been thinking but maybe haven't been brave enough to ask or want to just talk to us directly about, not through a sales call.
Yep.
So speaking of conversion mechanisms, if someone's listening to this, like what's the best conversion mechanism for warming up cold leads?
Yeah. So to warm up cold leads, we've found something which you call the hammer time sequence.
Mm-hmm.
So we filmed 50 reels, which were under 60 seconds. Essentially, if someone gets tagged in our hammer time ad sequence, they're going to be getting this sequence of videos in order. So from 1 to 50. Essentially, this is answering any objections, how Success School works, the program, the process, and all about it. And it's been incredibly effective. Our show rate has been incredibly high after implementing this, which has been great, but it's been really good to get people from cold to sold,
mm-hmm.
And just answering all their objections so our salespeople can have a way better time. Steph, how would you decide on which conversion mechanism to scale first? So we've got founder calls, we've got webinars, we've got sales calls, we've got DMs. Like what would you, and how would you pick?
I'd pick the one that's working right now.
Yep.
Yep. And if you don't have one working right now, then amazing, you get choice. But For most people, like you are converting people in a way that makes sense. Like some of you listening to this right now will be having DM conversations and pushing them to sales calls. If that's working for you, then let's just dial that in. You don't need to necessarily add more stuff in. But one thing I will add to this is that the webinar conversions work so well because they build a mass amount of trust, right? And it's really hard to, in a sales call, explain, like give them so much and also ask for a sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas webinars allow you to give a lot and also ask for a sale,
mm-hmm.
and then invite a conversation on the back end.
Yep.
And so webinars have been really, really powerful for us because it's easy in a reel to say you're good at what you do. It's easy in a carousel to say you're good at marketing.
Yeah, it's like scripted.
Of course, absolutely. But when you're watching somebody present for an hour live
yeah.
about their topic,
you know if they're full of shit.
You can tell if they're full of shit. And so therefore, it's just been really powerful for us. We do Q&As at the end of all of our webinars and people could just randomly shoot us stuff. And we just show that our coaching ability, that we're really good at managing and coaching all businesses, all types of coaching businesses, all niches, all stages of business. And because of that, we build massive trust and then people want to buy. So I think that right now, webinars and challenges are massively slept on and it won't last forever. Yeah, like it won't. Which we'll talk through in a sec. What has been the biggest surprise for you testing so many different types of conversions, like paths?
Yeah, so we've tested all the things that we've just spoken about, but what has surprised me is that everything works, which is quite mind-boggling. Yes. That all of these things actually do work. Yes. I just think a lot of people may be listening to this right now. If you're like you're not hitting the sales or you're not hitting the leads, you're probably just not taking enough action.
Mm.
You can convert people in like literally any way, but there's some block that's stopping you from running all of these things.
In my past experience, and I said this to some clients on a call this week, you're one good lead magnet away from a flood of leads and sales. Like, and any time that I've ever had a bad month in business, like when I used to run my old coaching program, sometimes I would just sit there at night and be like, oh my God, how the fuck am I going to get sales calls booked? And then I would just remind myself, like, I just need one good lead magnet. And when I say a good lead magnet, I mean a lead magnet that is so hyper-specific that solves a problem for your audience that they're desperate to solve in a way that they're dying to download, right? And if you can find that perfect lead magnet, you're just going to get a flood of perfect leads and then it's going to be really easy for you to get leads themselves. But yeah, if you're feeling that way right now, go deeper and give something away for free. That's awesome.
For sure.
All right, Tim, let's dive into strategy two.
Yep.
We are doing a pretty big 3-day challenge in January. Talk me through the decision. How do we come to the decision to do one in January and a little bit more of the behind the scenes of this?
Yeah. So typically challenges are the highest revenue generating thing you can do in the online business space at the moment. We're part of communities where people are doing big dollars on these challenges. We're talking like upwards of 7 figures every time. Like, I don't think we'll get to those kind of numbers, but just like a webinar, like you're just delivering a lot of value over a couple of day period. Essentially with a challenge, you just really want to solve one key problem that your audience has, solve it over a 3-day period, give them everything. And then at the end of them, obviously you make a pitch and then see if they want to get some more help with that or some more assistance on it. There's just levels to it. I guess from the data that we've seen, a lot of people can pull a 10x return on ad spend on these type of challenges. So if you spend $1, you make 10. If you spend 10 bucks, you make 100. If you spend 100 grand, you make a million. So if you think about just like those numbers at scale, obviously, if you're listening to this right now and you've never run a webinar or a challenge, it sounds like incredibly big, and it is, but it's something you definitely work up to. Steph, questions. Why are live events outperforming just static funnels like a core funnel or like a low ticket to high ticket funnel? Like, why do they do so much better?
Yeah, look, there's a pendulum effect that comes into literally anything in business or life. You know, when we first come out of our, and I'll use a story to explain this. Like when I first came out of my corporate job, I basically didn't want anything to do with that version of my world. I was like, I'm going to do everything the opposite of that. You know, I'm going to dress colorful. I'm going to work whatever hours I want. I'm going to, you know, spend my days at the beach. Like anything that was as far away from that experience as possible was what I wanted. But then I realized I can't just spend all my fucking days at the beach and go shopping and I've got to actually do some work. So the pendulum swings back down into the middle where you kind of find that mid ground that's perfect for you. Everything in business and life has a pendulum swing. And so we saw webinars working, I don't know, when was Russell Brunson a thing? Like that was like
6 years ago.
Like 6 years ago, 7 years ago, webinars were huge. And he was like the man that was, you know, teaching people how to convert through funnels, through webinar funnels. Because Russell Brunson was teaching it, everybody was doing it. And because everybody was doing it, it became less effective.
Yes.
So everyone stopped doing it. And then we moved into a different direction, right? And so then DM chats became the thing. And now DM chats are less effective, still good, less effective because everyone's doing it. And so now we're moving back to this webinar space where, and the reason I think it's come back into full swing is because we have lost trust. And we need to know that like every single person has bought from a shitty entrepreneur. Every single person has been burnt by a business coach or a coach that hasn't delivered what was promised. And so webinars create a lot of trust and they create a lot of no like and trust in a really rapid period. And so that's why we're seeing a huge resurgence for them right now.
Yeah.
If someone was thinking about running a live challenge, what are the kind of big mistakes to avoid?
Yeah. So we even see this in our clients now, like just with webinars, is they just start advertising way too late. I get clients, they're like, hey, Tim, check my ads. I got like a workshop next week. And I'm like, you just started ads like a week out. Like it's just way too late, like underprepared. So for a challenge, you want to have like at least a 6-week run up for it. Obviously, we're doing a pay challenge. So it'll be $47 on early bird plus a couple of bumps that you can grab on there. But I think like just the 6 P's is proper preparation prevents piss poor performance.
Yeah.
And I think like most people when they run these type of events, they're just extremely unorganized with it, and it's just very last minute. So you just need to be like super on top of it and give yourself like a massive runway to get this done. Steph, how are we going to turn people that attend the challenge into long-term clients?
Here's how we're going to turn the attendees that come to our challenge into long-term clients. So ultimately, over this three-day period, we're going to give them a lot of information, and we're really truly going to give them as much as we can. But the thing is that information is really not as valuable as it used to be, right? Like you have incredible AI that can give you so much knowledge. And I know it's easier to get knowledge from the source because AI oftentimes is just very agreeable as well and doesn't necessarily give you the perfect answer. But information is getting less and less valuable as more and more of it becomes available. And so they will get the information. It will be so valuable. It will be so high quality. We'll give them tools, templates, resources, AI bots. We're going to give them everything to make sure that they can get the result. But people already know themselves. They already know that, hey, I can have the gym workout. I can have the nutrition plan, but that doesn't mean I'm going to fucking follow it. Mm. And so if you know you're the kind of person who needs a like plan, but also wants accountability, also wants implementation support, also wants somebody in their corner to be able to help them figure out the roadblocks and overcome the obstacles, then that's how we onsell Success School as the perfect option for them. It's like, if you're the kind of person that can, you know, and look, honestly, you'd be the top 0.01% of people who can just take something off the internet and implement it completely and never have any questions and get it right. It just never happens. It's very like rare. Very, very rare. And so if you come to the three-day challenge and you see value and you see that you do think this is the right model for you and you do want some support with implementation, we're just going to make that offer and we're going to make it every day.
Exciting. All right, moving to strategy three. We've been like heavily leveraged into Manus AI at the moment. Really loving that tool. So specifically, we use the agent mode. So they've just come out with their version 1.5, which is agent mode essentially enabled. Steph and I have both found that ChatGPT has just gone a bit shit. OpenAI. So we're kind of just cheating on it a little bit.
We are. Lots of AIs, actually. But
so I really like Google Gemini is great. Claude's really good as well. But we like Manus because the agent mode is really good. So how we're really using it is like things that scale. So right now with the Andromeda update with Meta Ads, you really need like a lot of creatives to be successful with ads. Therefore, coming up with the copy, creative, planning, all of that stuff takes quite a lot of work.
Mm.
Not with Manus. We simply can ask Manus to write us like 50 ad variations for scripts, and then it will go and write 50 perfect scripts. Obviously, we'll give it guidelines and tools and templates to do that, but it's been amazing, and you just can't get it with ChatGPT anymore, which is super frustrating. Yeah. I'm on like the pro. I pay like $200 a month for ChatGPT, and it's just gone fucking shitty. What are you using Manus for? Like, what else?
Yeah, I'm using Manus for kind of like bigger, high-level things. So like, for example, I will use Manus if I want a CRO our website. So like, if we know that we're driving a ton of traffic to one of our landing pages and we're not getting the conversion that we know that we should be getting, I'll throw the landing page into Manus and be like, hey, can you help me conversion rate optimize this landing page and tweak things until it works? I'm using it for big things like, you know, website audits of our own stuff, social media audits, finding the things. Like I will give it like 3 Instagram accounts and then I will ask it why those ones are successful and why mine hasn't been successful like theirs has. And it will literally give me a playbook on how to optimize my Instagram account to get like that and what kinds of content I need to make and should be creating. And then it can go one step further and even help you script and create that content. So what we've seen with ChatGPT is that it started just slowing down. So you would ask it to create 50 ad angles and then it would just be like, are you sure?
Yeah.
And then it would
give you 4.
We would say, it would give you 4. And then you would say things like, I need them to be 60 seconds. And then some would be like 20 seconds and it just was getting slower and slower and lazier and lazier. And it's funny, I really was so scared of it. You know, if you listened to this podcast for the last 6 months, you would have heard me. Like I had mad fear about AI. Now I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know. I think maybe it's becoming overthinking.
It's regressing. Yeah.
It's like regressing to like its human nature, but Manus has been awesome. Like we haven't had that experience.
I'll give you a cool use case. So I was like, oh, what if I exported our ads account and like put it in Manus and asked it to do like a review? So I went and exported like a CSV file, which is like everything we've ever spent, like the millions we've spent on ads. And it gave me like a full structured report. And it was like, this audience works best, this hook works best. And it basically told us like what type of image and videos and stuff. It was super cool. And I just thought, like, imagine a human going through and auditing your ads account, like how long that would take to find winners. And it was pretty sweet.
Let's just touch on AI though, because I often, especially with our clients, I see them not using it enough. Like I just talk about how to use it for basic stuff. Like how should a client be using it on a daily basis just for the basics?
Yeah. Just like writing your social media posts and scripting things out and like replying to emails. And if you've got difficult conversations, like consulting with AI. AI is usually like my first port of call when I have an issue.
Yes.
So I'll go to AI. I don't Google things anymore. So I'll go to AI and be like, hey, here's what's coming up. Like, what would you suggest? Mm-hmm. Or what are some things I could do? And then I'll be like, cool. And then it will tell you what to do. And then I'll be like, well, can you go and do that for me?
Yeah.
And then usually it will go and do it for you. So it's just essentially just trying to integrate it into my thought process and my consulting. Probably rather than me actually using my brain now, I probably like revert to AI a little bit much. And yeah. I'm probably getting like a bit of AI brain, but it's been incredible. What about you? Like, how do you integrate it in your day-to-day?
Yeah, I think that like for most people that, I mean, I integrate it way too much. Like I ask it for literally like, I have like a run.
Life advice.
Literally, I'm using it for everything. Like I have a sniffly nose, better check with AI. You know, I've got a bit of a sore knee. Oop, what is this spot in my knee and what could it be from?
Tim said this. What does it mean?
I literally saw a pair of sunglasses on a girl and I screenshot the photo and I put it in AI and I was like, find me these sunglasses. And it did. I bought them. So didn't tell you that. So I literally use it too much, to be honest. But I think for somebody who's not used, like for most entrepreneurs right now, you're probably burning out because you're thinking too much. Like overthinking is definitely a thing. So instead of overthinking, just ask every single question or stream of consciousness that you have into AI and let it give you answers. And there's one hack here that I would use if I was you is tell it to be objective. Don't tell it to agree with you. Say, do not be agreeable. I need you to be objective and give me lots of different perspectives. And then it will not just agree with you because its single flaw, its biggest flaw, it's got a few flaws, but its biggest flaw is that if you don't tell it to be objective, it will just agree with you. And then you just have an echo chamber. So if you're like, is my launch plan good? And it's like, yeah, your launch plan's great. And then it's actually shit, you know? Yeah. So you have to tell it to like be an expert and then be objective.
Yeah. Cool. I love that. All right, guys, that was it for our Under the Hood. Let us know if that was a valuable episode for you to see what we're up to and how you guys can use that. If you guys enjoyed this episode, send us a message and we will see you next week.
We'll see you next week.